What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Yala. Your thrice weekly podcast where we talk about the hottest news with a touch of what, Terrence?
Good old humor.
Good old humor, man.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to the audio version,
yeah.
Today is a very special episode.
Yes.
It is not only our 500th episode. And that little bell should give you an idea of what the hell we're doing and what is it we're doing, Terrence.
We are on a trishaw in the beautiful East Coast, Upper East Coast district of Siglap, right?
Siglap, lah, yeah, Siglap, along East Coast Road.
And why are we doing this special episode, Harish?
Because, I mean, okay, we've done 500 episodes. I think cumulatively, we've got like 3.5 million plus streams.
Yeah.
We started our YouTube channel. That's growing very nicely. And every time we have hit a milestone in the past, like 100, 200, 300, we did like AMA or something like that.
Yeah.
So this time, we wanted to do something special and we wanted to bring the show to the street. Lah.
Yeah. Actually, it was kind of like, I think we wanted to go on a world tour.
Yalabat world tour.
Didn't really pan out that way.
Yeah.
Maybe in a future time. But we thought rather than wait for that to happen, we'll take the tour to the streets, right?
Yeah, exactly. And initially, we were thinking, oh, should we record it in the car so we can go around Singapore? Should we like get a bus, an open-top bus?
Yeah.
But then we realized there's one form of transport that is very uniquely Singaporean.
Yes.
And that is a trishaw.
Yes.
Yeah,
and actually, there might be some people who have never encountered a trishaw before, right? And you might be listening, not watching.
Yeah.
Can you explain what a trishaw is?
So a trishaw is there's like a little carriage fit for two or three small-sized people, powered by a cyclist who is right beside us right now. He's been a super helpful, super cool guy. And it's a form of transport that's been around Singapore and maybe around the region for a long while.
Yeah.
But it's entirely like, I mean, mainly human powered, lah.
Yeah. Entirely leg powered, lah, right?
Leg powered, yeah.
Legs day all day. Yeah.
And it's a open top. So yeah, this is pretty surreal, man.
Yeah. I mean, in case anyone's wondering about our setup, right? Harish and I are seated side by side in that sidecar. It's very cozy, but no man spreading allowed.
Yeah, because, no man spreading.
There's not enough space.
I was warned already.
Yeah, and we have a full recording and a video set up here, and you can even see a bit of the uncle, the trishaw uncle here as well, posing the shots. And yeah, we're just going along the road, and traffic's heavy for a weekday.
Yeah, but so far the weather's been good.
Yes,
And I would say if you have never thought about watching a YouTube version of Yalabat before, now is probably the best fucking time to do it.
Like. It is.
Because absolutely. We are literally on the road.
Yeah.
Tristan is stationed at various spots along East Coast Road and Siglap.
Yeah.
Terrence set the whole thing up with the cameras and the audio.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I mean, today it's not going to be like covering news per se, but we're just going to be taking a retrospective journey along East Coast, lah.
Yeah. For those who know, we are along Siglap, which is a quite a sleepy area with actually a lot of young families and expats and foreigners. And we are passing by a picture of Edwin Tong and his team here at Marine Parade. Edwin Tong is wishing everyone happy Chinese New Year. So this is this is considered Joo Chiat, lah, because I see Edwin Tong's name next to Joo Chiat. But what are your memories of place like this whole stretch, Siglap and all?
So
what do you feel about it?
I mean, like, when I grew up, because I grew up in the Far East, right? Tampines.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I always knew East Coast. So East Coast is kind of like, and Katong is like the hotspot for Cindy's.
Oh, yeah.
Which is my people, Cindy's. Okay. So I used to have some relatives stay here, like Sindhu House is here. But whenever I came, it was always a very kind of a interesting place in Singapore because the beach is there. There's East Coast Park.
Yeah.
And then Parkway Parade, I remember there was a huge-ass Toys R Us when I was younger that I used to come for. So it always was a nice place to... It was like a treat, like, to go there.
Yeah.
For you?
I used to hang out here in my youth, like school days and all, a lot more. And the crazy thing is, we're back here shooting again, and a lot of the stores or the bars or restaurants that I see are the exact same ones that were here, 10, 20 years ago, right?
Hey, so, is that Sharon?
It is Sharon.
we just went past.
a friend of ours who happens to also listen to a little bit of our podcast, and she's walking her dog.
Oh my god!
Yeah, we don't know whether we can stop to but I think let's just carry on.
Can we like pause by the road? Is it okay?
I mean, maybe inside there or something, like where we're not blocking everything.
See, this is the benefit of doing stuff on the street. We bump into actual people.
Yeah, yeah.
And she is mouthing to my to me, like, what the hell are y'all doing?
It's funny.
Oh my God. Yo.
Hey, hi.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have. This is the joy of like doing Bring Yellow Butt to the streets in the midst of recording a podcast. We are bumping into friends of ours.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe we can get a little word from Sharon.
Yeah.
Would you like to come and just say a few words?
Yeah.
Your dog doesn't want... Okay, cool. Yeah,
but cool.
But yeah, so we actually see a person. You can wave to us.
Yeah.
Okay.
See you.
Your dog really wants to go.
Yeah, your dog doesn't want to be having anything to do with us.
All right, she'll be taking a picture.
Jeez.
All right, bye.
Yeah, we'll catch up with you again soon. Yeah.
Yeah, 500th episode.
500. Yellow Butt 500.
Yeah, Yellow Butt 500. See you.
Bye.
Oh, my God. Damn, that was nice.
Yeah, that was interesting. I think, but yeah, like I was saying, like, a lot of, families, foreigners and all, they live here. And it's a very residential enclave with very nice bars and restaurants, of which... like I mentioned, like this, still the same ones like from 10, 20 years ago.
Oh, so you actually recognize some places?
I do. Yeah. I do recognize some of the places.
I think the thing that has kept it maybe a bit more rustic is also because there's no MRT yet here, lah.
Correct.
Yeah, I think once the MRT comes, that's a sign for things going to change, man.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
And I mean, now we are going past Frankel, going closer to East Coast Road. Mm. And I mean, one thing that I remember figuring out when I was young, or being told when I was young, was that a lot of East Coast that we see now, you know, like our Marine Parade area, Parkway Parade, they all reclaimed land.
Ah, yes. That's true.
And when my mom actually came from Malaysia with her family, they lived for a while along Seaview.
Ah, okay.
Which is along East Coast Road.
Okay.
And like, it blew my mind that it was called Seaview because the sea was just there.
Ah, why did that blow your mind though? Isn't that obvious?
I mean, you always feel like the names are obvious. Like, what's a road?
We are actually passing by a condominium named Ocean Park right now.
Yeah.
I'd say that one blows my mind more because we're not by any ocean by any means, right? But yours is more accurate. Yours is like Sea View.
Sea View, exactly.
Yeah.
So then it finally gave some meaning to the name, lah. And yeah, my mom told me that when they were staying there for a brief period, they would just walk out and the sea is there. But now it's like Parkway Parade.
Yeah.
It's Marine Parade.
Yeah.
It's interesting, lah.
It is, interesting to see.
But you know, like, looking back, what you're saying is like from 10, 20 years ago, you recognize the bus. Looking back at Yellow Butt, right?
Yeah.
Like, what do you... Hey, man. Like, what do you feel about the 500 episodes we've done?
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, the fact that we're doing this, that there's an impetus to do this.
Yeah.
It kind of... It's a nice feeling, you know? I think I don't know if I told you before, but like, one of my things is I hope that even my old age, I'll still be like creating stuff and all that, you know? In whatever format and medium. So to do 500 episodes of this podcast... when it started out really just as an experiment or something that we needed to do with our time, right, during COVID. It's quite amazing, yeah.
Yeah, same.
How about you?
I mean, same, because if you think about it, I don't know whether there are many things in my life or in anyone's life that you do 500 times consistently.
Yeah.
So, I think, it's the number 500. Of course, some of the podcasters we look up to, they've done like thousands of episodes.
Yep.
But 500 over 3 years.
Yeah.
And I think now we're doing like 3 a week. So the next 500 will come in about 3 more years.
Yeah. But nothing to scoff at, lah. 500 is a good number.
Yeah, definitely. It's cool. And I think the best thing about this whole thing is not to sound cheesy or anything, but really the community and the listeners, lah.
Yeah.
And the fact that this morning... Because, another reason why we wanted to bring it to the streets is because that's actually how we started, right?
Yes.
You know, with Ministry of Funny, a lot of videos that we did on the street, interacting with Singaporeans. The thing about a podcast is like you're in a room, you know, and it's you and the guest.
Yeah.
So this time, I think I told you before we started, I had that same feeling before recording, how is this something we're doing for a living? In a great way, you know? Shit.
Not
what the fuck are we doing?
In a midlife crisis kind of way.
I mean, those sort of crises come once in a while.
Sure.
But I remember last time, before every Ministry of Money shoot, when we were going to be doing something ridiculous on the street,
yeah,
I always have this this is what we are doing. But at the end of the day, like, I'm always so happy that we can do that. Like, and today was the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what the hell are we doing?
I know. And I woke up and I was like, wow, even the weather is cooperating with us today.
Yeah.
In the sense that it's not, I mean, okay, fingers crossed. It's there was a slight drizzle, but everything else is pretty good. It's nice and cool, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we're actually passing by, I think, the Tolok Kurau area right now.
Yes.
In case those of you who know this area, that's how long it's taken us to get here.
Yeah.
You know, because we're taking a leisurely, we're going at a leisurely pace, like, we're not rushing it.
Yeah, so Tolok Kurau, Tolok Kurau right now, it's just residential mainly. And all the bungalows were actually built in the 60s. And one thing that I didn't mention earlier about Siglap and Frankel, right? Yeah. You know, Frankel, do you know what kind of land it was back in the 50s? Take a guess.
Cemetery.
No.
No.
Oh. Okay, it was a plantation, but what type of plantation?
Rubber plantation.
Coconut.
Coconut.
Wow. Apparently it was a cattle ground clearing as well.
Cattle ground clearing?
Yeah, I don't know whether that means there was actual cattle or it's the cattle that cleared the ground or something.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, no idea. But okay. Yeah, so that was Frankel, that was Siglap, that was Tolok Kurau. Now we're heading to East Coast.
Yeah.
And East Coast, actually, it was first demarcated in 1828, no, by Lieutenant Philip Jackson.
Mm.
Like, he had a town plan. It was built in 1902.
When you say demarcated, what do you mean demarcated?
I am guessing when we were still under, like, British colonial rule, it was demarcated as a place that shit was going to be built on.
Oh, shit was... So it was identified as, like, prime real estate.
Really, it's like the URA plan. You know, it's the East Coast, the Long Island plan.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, it was the Long Island plan back in 1828.
Before there was a East Coast plan.
Before there was an East Coast plan.
Got it. Okay.
But I guess it was demarcated in 1828. It was built in 1902. That's 74 years.
Yeah. Wow.
70, I guess, yeah, like, that was the way things moved last time.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, holy shit, now we're in a 3-lane road.
So, in case anyone's wondering, right, like, our trishaw is pretty wide. It's probably as wide as a small car, right?
Yeah, it is.
So, we're not getting the usual kind of angry stares from people. they're just treating us as a slow car and just driving past us or cycling past us. So, yeah, you know, I think my disdain for road cyclists has been well documented, but I don't consider ourselves being road cyclists now. We're on a vehicle.
No, you sure we're not getting any angry stares or not?
Curious, I think people are curious, what is going on.
What is going on?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's so many things going on in town because of Taylor Swift, right? Like, there's that whole thing at Jewel and MBS and then... I think there's like a sing-along going on at Jewel soon, right?
Yeah, it's the Bejeweled.
I think if we Bejeweled just tell event. We just tell people that we're doing something for Taylor Swift also, they'll be like, oh, okay, you know, that's just part of the social fabric now, right? Nothing special.
So you're saying we're doing this for Taylor Swift, right?
In case anybody asks us, anybody like, why you're so boliao,
So if somebody asks, well, how is this something to do with Taylor Swift?
We want to get Taylor Swift on a podcast, and this is our...
Our call to action.
Get Taylor Swift on Yellow Bud. Yeah, that would be awesome, man. Then we'll cycle all the way. We're going to trishaw all the way to a concert on the day itself, right?
Yeah. Wow, that would be dope, man.
That would be pretty crazy.
Like, we just go around the Kallang Stadium, because then you can listen to the music also.
Exactly. Blast the music along the way.
Blast the music.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so now we are at East Coast.
Yep.
Lots of people having brunch. Just giving us the looks. I wouldn't say dirty looks,
No, not dirty.
Yeah, more like, oh, what are these two gentlemen doing? Three gentlemen doing on a early Tuesday morning.
Yeah. But this gives me like you said, it gives me the kind of vibes like how we did 10 years ago when you're doing like YouTube videos on the street, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty exciting and just, you know, just talking about the Yalabat experience, but also just taking in the sights and sounds of a very gentrified Joo Chiat neighborhood now, right? Which actually, you think about it, a lot of the things that we discuss as topics on our podcast deal with the gentrification of Singapore, right?
Yeah.
And you know, the maturing of a society also, right?
Yeah.
But how do you think Singapore is different from the first episode of Yalabat to now? Like, what do you think is the biggest difference?
COVID.
Okay,
yeah.
Obviously, yeah.
You know, actually, the first episode of Yalabat was actually 2018 or 2019, I believe.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
Right. So, how it has changed?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more... Okay, so I feel also that there's a lot more interest in current affairs and news.
Yes.
And alternative opinions.
Yes.
and alternative opinions are no longer just like the totally extreme shit on government or just love government.
Correct.
I think there is more conversation about stuff that's important. Yeah. And also, I think Singapore as a country is, how you say, it's got real challenges. Everyone's feeling the heat. Maybe that's why people are caring about stuff like this more.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing that has big change for me. For you?
Yeah, I think just in terms of the demographic of the podcast and how people have come to discover the whole medium of podcast as well. It's very telling that people are on the streets searching. They're searching for interesting things about our podcast, right?
Yeah.
As in, they want to hear us talk about topics, even though we're not experts by any means. Yeah. But they want to hear us talk about topics that don't typically get discussed in mainstream media. Because podcasts, I think, different from radio in the sense that it's a very self... you have to search for things yourself, right?
They
don't get spoon-fed to you. Opinions don't get spoon-fed to you. You kind of have to search for yourself, like, what you are interested in listening to. So the growth of the podcast kind of tells me that people are interested in the topics that we're talking about. And yeah, like, that makes me happy. I don't know about you.
And I mean, even recently, right? I think we covered on a podcast about Leong Man Wai getting Pofmat, which people commented that they had not heard about it until our podcast. But in the end, a few days later, it was a monumental thing that happened because ultimately he stepped down, right?
Yeah.
And he cited the Pofmat as a reason.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh shit, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so but you were saying the demographic of listeners per se, lah.
I think the explosion of podcasts also tells you something, right? The fact that our YouTube, YouTube is now actually, I think a lot of people discover our podcast through YouTube now, more than like Spotify and all that, right?
Yeah.
So it tells you that the people who are on YouTube, besides watching state-sponsored propaganda from, various countries, they're also listening to our podcast and discovering our podcast along the way.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And you know, just one thing, aside from that, along East Coast, there's a lot of, food places and eateries, right? Mm. You got any favourites, you know?
Wow, along East Coast, I know that there's the... Is it? There's a wantan mee, Eng's wantan mee or something, is it?
Oh, that's Katong. Oh, you know, Katong. Wait, there might be one somewhere here.
Yeah. There's a wantan mee here that's quite famous.
Tanjung Katong, Tanjung Katong.
Okay.
Oh, so now we are at the junction.
Yes.
Of Joo Chiat and East Coast.
Yeah.
With I-12 right in the corner.
Yeah, that's right. But this place is where you'll see a lot of, the old shop houses that now have become refurbished, very hipster kind of places as well, right?
Yeah.
Cafes, restaurants. There's an ice cream store here, right? Birds of Paradise. Very beloved by a lot of people.
Fuck, I think it feels like we're giving a tour.
I mean, in some way, we are, right? Because we are moving, we are recording,
we're
talking through this thing. And if you're fortunate enough to be driving in the East Coast while listening to this, you're sort of almost on this tour with us, right?
How dope will that be if, every place in Singapore, like a heritage, we do a podcast there?
Yeah.
People find out about it while listening to our podcast.
Yeah. It's a heritage.
Like an audio tour.
Almost, yeah. But, the other thing about Yalabat 500 is that we've had a lot of guests on, right?
Yeah.
What kind of... what's your most memorable guest interview on Yalabat so far?
Most memorable guest interview? I would actually say... definitely one of it was Tan Kin Lian.
Tan Kin Lian, okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Because, so we had Ng Kok Song first.
Yes.
Before that, right?
Yes.
And I know we wanted to get all three presidential candidates on and also to kind of show to people who had not heard of us that, hey, we can hold a proper conversation, with someone who could potentially hold a very influential position.
Sure.
So when Ng Kok Song happened, it felt like, oh, okay, we got one. Don't know whether it was like a one-off or one-hit kind of thing. But the fact that we got Tan Kin Lian as a second candidate showed that, it's almost like no longer just a one-off that we got a presidential candidate on.
Sure.
And then also the impact that podcast had when one question we did was quoted and referenced to when reporters were asking the other candidates and it came out in the news. So I was like, oh shit, that's actually kind of cool. So that was on me. For you?
Tan Kin Lian. I would actually say that the one that really, I think, kind of shifted things for me a bit was when we got Xia Xue on, the Xia Xue and Narelle King.
Oh.
The duo episodes.
Oh, right? That's nostalgic, man.
I think it's nostalgic because you look, I mean, I don't think we have videos of that episode on, but maybe some clips on Facebook or something on the Ministry of Funny page. But it was pretty interesting because there's people who, you know, are old enough to remember, there was a little spat that went on between Xia Xue and Narelle King of the Sam Willows, Benjamin King's sister, right? And it was quite interesting because we managed to get Xia Xue on to say her piece 1 week. And then the following week, we got Narelle King on. And I think people enjoyed the back and forth so much. And I finally saw, okay, this is an interesting way for us to really dig deep between two very different viewpoints, right? Very different people, very different styles of communication, very different viewpoints. And still, you know, have conversation with both of them and hear them out and, you know, challenge them a little bit. So in that sense, I started to see the real social value and utility of what we were doing on Yalabat.
Even so that was way back, right?
It was way back. And it wasn't exactly the biggest issue in the world or anything, right, that we were debating about. But the very fact that I remember back then getting Xia Xue on, and even she was like, this was Xia Xue pre her having her own podcast and, you know, long YouTube videos and all that, right?
Yeah.
So I think even she saw the value of this kind of long conversations, and she went on to do very interesting interviews herself with like NOC and
oh yeah, that's remember true. Osaka, yeah, yeah, correct.
So I think in that sense we managed to cleared the path for this kind of conversations on podcasts, right? Very controversial people or topics and all, but giving them airtime to really say what's on their mind properly.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That was way back in 2021, maybe?
Yeah. Right. It was a while back.
I think on that note, I think also in terms of like making it, how is it, more common to have conversations that maybe 5-6 years ago, people wouldn't imagine like having conversations like that broadcast was the trilogy we did with like the people from TrueLove.is, the Free Community Church, and Sean Fula, who writes a LGBTQ+ magazine. Because I think it started off with getting one guest, and then we're like, oh shit, we need to get some other opinions here.
Yeah.
And then in the end, we got all three.
So that one was also quite interesting. I remember we spent quite a lot of time prepping and also just discussing what's the angle that we're doing and things like that, right?
Yeah.
And for those who can't see, Harish is doing the social media thing.
Yeah,
so man. So just filming around and, you know, just capturing the environment. And here, we're along, it's sort of at the Mountbatten Road, intersection with Amber Road.
Yeah.
Where Katong Shopping Centre is, very, very iconic, very old shopping centre, right?
Yeah.
What memories do you have of this area, man?
One particular memory is like my favorite chicken rice in Singapore. It is at the basement of Katong Village. Katong Shopping Center.
Katong Shopping Center.
It's some dope ass chicken rice which I only discovered a few years ago.
Dope ass.
So that's one big memory.
Okay.
Aside from that, for you?
I remember there was a toy store in a collector's toy store in Katong Shopping Centre that had like the old Star Wars toys back in the 90s when Star Wars wasn't what it is today. Star Wars was still a very nerd hobby, and there was no Disney involved, there were no like prequels, sequels or anything like that.
If it's not a nerd hobby, it's not anymore.
It's mainstream already. Welcome to the 2000s. Welcome to the 21st century, man. Marvel and Star Wars is mainstream already as hell.
Yeah.
But back then, it was still like a nerd thing. And there was a toy store here that carried the old Star Wars toys, which was amazing for me as a kid, you know, like actually seeing a physical manifestation of something, a show that I had watched only like years after it was actually released in cinemas and all that, right? So it was very fond memories of coming to look at the toys and buy some toys and all that,
But this shopping centre also is a bit like a throwback to the past,
It is.
Don't know how long more we'll be here, man.
Don't know, like probably
it's like another Golden Mile.
Yeah. Another Golden Mile, that's right.
But you know, just now you asked about like favourite guest episodes. Any favourite moments from the whole history of Yalabat?
I think definitely when we got Minister Shanmugam on. I think the moment that Andy Chen identified as the funniest moment in the whole podcast, lah, right? Was when we just casually remarked to minister, the minister, hey, you know, we're happy to get you on again anytime that you want to come and talk about anything. And then he's like, we'll see, we'll see. And then I just gave a chuckle at the end of it. I don't know, that just the whole thing,
captured
the whole
exchange. Captured in eternity, for eternity. Yeah,
yeah. It's just kind of just like, yeah, la, captured the host. I mean, what Yalla Bud is about, la, right? In some ways also, yes, it's a casual conversation, but it's also about some serious topics that, you know, that might not be super pleasant for everybody who comes on to talk about, la, right?
Yeah.
But we'll still go there. We'll still go there. That's the important thing.
Because we decided way back, right, that we're never going to make our podcast like a place where people come and just get like vilified or have a bullseye on your back.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're not saying everyone who comes on will be like, will kowtow to you or suck up to you or anything, la, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Correct, you have a good conversation, and however you feel after that, we can't control.
Yeah. So if you're hearing a lot of background music and all in the background, which you might be able to above the traffic, actually we're going to be turning into the Joo Chiat Road itself very soon.
Yeah,
so
man.
So we are along like this whole stretch. What road is this? Mountbatten?
It's still East Coast.
It's still East Coast.
Just now we were at Upper East Coast. This is East Coast, lah.
Yeah, where there's a lot of cafes, bakeries, bars. And Katong Laksa, the famous Katong Laksa also is here.
And I mean, Joo Chiat is where we really get like super hysterical. Historical.
Historical.
Oh shit, I didn't realize those two words are so closely, they sound so similar.
Freudian slip, is it? Like the stuff you do in Joo Chiat. Hysterical. Back in the day, I think. Joo Chiat used to be a more hysterical place.
I mean, because like I remember Joo Chiat like pre-COVID was just full of like bunch of KTVs and like not the most wholesome place.
Sure.
But now slowly you're seeing like later at some point I think we'll pass a lot of the cafes and things that have sprung up. But I think it was also voted one of the coolest neighborhoods in the world, right?
Coolest neighborhoods in the world.
Was it Joo Chiat or Katong?
Probably Joo Chiat, lah.
Yeah. I think Joo Chiat, Joo Chiat.
I mean, just literally as an aside, on one of my recent one shot things, the show Love Deadline.
Yeah.
They came to Singapore to film, and one of the places they filmed that was Joo Chiat itself, lah.
Oh, is it? Joo
Chiat. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, so what did they film?
They filmed a date, lah. Like a couple was having a date along Joo Chiat, lah. Yeah.
Oh, like along Joo Chiat, did they show like the restaurant or which cafe or anything?
Funny you ask, because there's this part they're like, oh, you know, let's go to this place, it looks very Singaporean, and then they turn and walk into a place that was actually the Singapore, I think it was like the tourist experience center. And then there were tables and chairs inside, and they sat down and drank chrysanthemum tea.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yo's chrysanthemum tea from a can. Yeah.
But they didn't shy away that they were in Singapore, lah.
No. It was absolutely, I'm sure it was somehow supported by STB and everything.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah, it was out and out, like, like a Singapore experience. It was a plug for Singapore, right?
Yeah.
In a Netflix international show.
And now, if you hear the beeping in the background, we are at the probably one of the busiest junctions along East Coast Road, which is so many people are just waving to us as they cross.
Yeah.
I'm capturing.
Yeah, this is Joo Chiat Road and East Coast Road, the intersection.
Yeah.
There's the Awfully Chocolate Bakery and Cafe. Yeah, it's been there forever, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Recall collect. And then opposite is I-12. I-12 is another mall that's in this area.
So if you're still listening and haven't checked out the video yet, I do say just go check out the damn video, because Tristan is stationed along the route, taking videos and B-roll of the areas around us.
Mm.
So you can actually see what we are looking at.
Yeah.
Which is part of the whole point of doing something on the street.
Yeah, it's pretty epic.
Yeah, but just some fun facts about Joo Chiat also.
Yeah.
So it is a... It's recognized for a bunch of heritage and architectural awards. So, it pre-1917, right, it was known as the Confederate Estate Road.
Confederate Estate Road.
Yeah.
Why?
I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
But then, at some point, it was renamed after Joo Chiat, who was a prominent businessman of Peranakan descent.
Okay.
Yeah, which is why like there's a lot of Peranakan influence here.
Ah, I see.
And here, he developed coconut plantations, sold land for housing, and he just made this whole area rich.
Awesome.
So then in the 60s, then it became a lot more retail and entertainment focus.
Yeah.
That's when I guess you get a lot of, after that, in the years coming, a lot of KTVs and stuff.
Yeah.
But now it's like bustling. Well, you get everything here. You get old school barbershops.
Yep.
You get new brunch cafes where people are having brunch now.
Yeah.
And we also, there's also a bit of like a history for us. With you chat, right?
Mm, yeah.
Why, Terrence?
We are actually passing by the place, one of the locations where we shot our, you know, TV series, She's a Terrorist and I Love Her.
Yeah.
And the reason we are here, we shot here is because I think we were just doing a recce for a nice location to shoot around here. Then, you know, sometimes on these recces, like, some people stare at you, like, what are you doing here, the kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there was this, like, dude who looked very unfriendly and was like staring at us like, hey, why you all here, why you all parked here, that kind of thing. And then he just walked up to us and asked us what we're doing. Then we said we're looking for a location to shoot certain scenes for a TV series lah. And then the guy was like, oh, I own this MMA gym like on the second floor here, why don't you all come out and take a look if you want to film here, you know. And it was like, yeah, he turned out to be the nicest guy ever. He had a little MMA gym on the second floor of one of these shop houses. And yeah, we actually ended up shooting it as if it was I think it was meant to look like Geylang, right? Like Geylang
Hotel
81. Yeah, we shot those scenes here. Yeah, it was pretty intense that whole shoot. Yeah,
because I remember when he stared us down, literally between me, you, the producer, the DP. We're like, okay, guys, just stay calm.
Yeah,
you know, we just go talk. You know, just tell him. But then after that, I mean, he was so nice, but you could tell like he's a MMA guy through it hard, like, because I think he was telling us about his previous injuries and how he busted his head open, and he was just laughing about it.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh yeah, okay, cool.
But why did we want to shoot here? I think now probably in the video you can see that there are some really nice buildings around here, right?
Yeah.
What were we trying to capture here?
I think one thing about that show which we really wanted to do, which I would say is consistent across Ministry of Fun and Yalabat, is to really capture something that is Singaporean true and true. And it's also cool, you know, and something that we feel the world should get to know about. So when we were thinking about places to shoot at and all, I mean, Joo Chiat, like, visually, it is really, really nice. Aside, I mean, even with all the gentrification and all, like, some of the buildings and all are still so beautiful. And we figured, okay, if we are going to capture a show that, you know, like, gets all the best sides of Singapore and also the underbelly, why not have something in Joo Chiat?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, the colours are pretty amazing here, right?
Yeah.
These Peranakan houses that we're looking at, they are literally surrounding us right now. They were featured in the Netflix show Love Deadline that I was telling you all about. There's a lot of interesting architecture here that you know, even non-Singaporeans should come and check out as well.
Yeah. And but inevitably, like right now, we are stopped at a traffic light where there's a cold storage behind us.
Yes.
And a few months ago, it was Giant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and there's no better reflection of like, I guess that's called gentrification.
Yeah.
There's an epitome of gentrification, right?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you can't fault it, like, but I miss Giant, lah.
Yeah.
So I mean, actually, Joo Chiat, the more I read up about it, the more, because now we all know that it's one of the coolest town, cities, or like, areas in the world, you know?
Yeah.
But basically, right, from 1917, I mentioned it was the Confederate Estate Road. Plantations and all that. Then 1960s became like entertainment and retail.
Yeah.
Then 1965, there were schools and community centers. Then there was Galaxy Theatre, shopping centers. 1976 to 1984, there was the East Coast Reclamation. That, I think, you know, like, just brought more people to this area.
Got it.
And then there were modifications to the road and all. Then, in 1985 to 1995, the kampongs in Geylang were replaced by HDBs.
Okay.
And then that's when Roxy Square, Katong Mall all came up.
I see.
The one big change was in 1996 to 2007, the shift of the sex industry from central Singapore to Geylang kind of bled over to Joo Chiat. And that's why there were all these KTVs that came up.
In fact, we still see some here, right?
Yeah, still see some here.
A lot of KTVs here. The funny thing is, these are KTVs alongside yoga studios, premium pet services, vegan cuisine and all. It's kind of tells you about the melting pot that is Singapore already.
Yeah. You go have brunch.
Yeah.
Then you bring your kids, drop them off at this like a little play area.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
go KTV for your afternoon session.
Yeah.
And then yeah, it's just family day out.
Day and night entertainment.
And night entertainment.
Yeah, pretty crazy. But yeah, like, I mean, it's a lot more gentrified than it was like even 10 years ago, like, right?
Yeah.
Back then, you know, bicycle shops and yeah, a lot more KTVs, like, I would say.
Okay, so now we are turning from Joo Chiat onto Koon Seng Road, which is like, there's a lot of Peranakan houses there, like, right?
Yeah.
But fun fact about Koon Seng Road, which is something I found online, not 100% verified, but apparently it was named after Cheong Kung Koon Seng, one of the first 13 ACS boys.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know whether the first batch of ACS had only 13 boys or not, but he was one of the first 13 ACS boys.
Oh, amazing.
And he started his own property firm and... And whatnot, but yeah, so that's one aspect of this road. Another aspect is like it's famous for these Peranakan houses, lah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, yeah, all these colors here, they're a big attraction to a lot. I think a lot of you know, travel series and all that, they like to film here, and in front of us we see a lot of tourists that are also filming.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, it's pretty surreal to be like just riding a trishaw along here and recording our podcast, lah. You know, I'm a bit, yeah, I don't even know what to say other than just taking the sights at this moment. But yeah.
But I mean, like, there are actual people living here, lah, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how they would feel if, like, every day you just have people coming and taking photos in front of your house?
I mean, I'm sure there's a sense of pride, lah. These places are not cheap either, right? They're considered very expensive and everything. So, yeah, you know, you're proud to be owning one of these and you know, continuing the heritage. And
you wouldn't mind if people come in front of your house like every day to take photos?
No, I wouldn't mind. Especially if you really care about the heritage of the house and keeping it pristine and everything, lah. Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, I would be pissed off, man.
You'd be pissed off. Then why would you even buy one of these places if that pisses you off?
Because it's a nice house.
You know that.
It's a nice house.
Yeah, but you want to keep it for yourself to appreciate only, man. You see, this is the difference. Like, I'm the Indiana Jones here. It belongs in a museum. That's what I'm saying, you know. It needs for everyone to enjoy, not just...
Yeah, so that's why I don't think I'll buy it, lah. I don't think I'll buy it. I don't think I'll move here.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I will. But, I mean... I really hope this stays, lah. Yeah. I think in 2011, Joo Chiat was the first Singapore... declared the first heritage town in 2011.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. It is a very interesting place. Hey, the rain. We gotta can we get under shelter or something somewhere?
So the last thing you probably heard was Terrence kind of like saying, okay, we need to cut the camera because it's raining, because it really was.
Yeah.
It just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
The weather forecast at the start of today was that it would be cloudy the whole day. But unfortunately, as life goes, shit happens.
As Singapore goes, man, this is Singapore. This is classic Singapore weather, right?
Yeah, that's what, classic
you
Singapore weather.
You make all
weather.
The plans you want for the most beautiful sunny day and it's hot as hell. And then before you know it, just as the crucial time comes, the rain just starts pouring.
And like it just reminded me again of all the things we had to deal with when we used to shoot on the street, right?
Yes.
Literally, you can plan for weeks. The rain comes and it fucks you over.
Yeah, my underwear is wet now. Yeah.
Oh, your underwear is wet now. Nice, man. I don't know how your underwear got wet, lah.
Cause I'm seated, like yeah, lah.
Near the edge,
like, more wind and everything, yeah.
But now, like if you see the video on YouTube, we have a canopy on top of us.
Yeah.
Pretty baller trishaw. That's all weatherproof.
Yeah, weatherproof.
But the show must go on.
But yeah, I mean, you know, speaking of the reacting to, you know, things that happen on the fly, what is one moment in all of Yala Butler, right, that has shocked you?
Oh, that has shocked me.
Yeah.
That has shocked me.
Yep.
I would say like a specific moment. Do you have one?
I think in terms of shocking me, in some ways, yeah, like what you alluded to earlier, lah, the episode where we interviewed Tan Kin Lian, lah, right? I think, that episode was a lot of people who watched it have also commented that they were amazed at how we could keep a straight face, lah. Right.
Mm.
And I'll admit, lah, yeah, at times I was like, oh my goodness, you know, the certain things that he was saying was quite shocking to me, lah, and really changed my mind about like what exactly the presidential election was about and all that. So yeah, that was quite a shock for me. How about you?
So I think for me a shock was maybe not so much a shock but a realization also was when when we got Roo Yong on for the last time.
Yes.
And he just said like very candidly, very honestly and very openly his thoughts about say, you know, the ex-SNOC president, lah, Tan Chuan-jin.
Yeah.
And it went viral. Lah. Like, yeah. People were stealing that clip and uploading it on social media and it went viral. Yeah. And it was kind of a realization that, oh shit, like, we actually do have a platform where things that maybe deserve to be said can be said. And people are open to it and people kind of like, when it comes from on our podcast, it's like, oh, hopefully that's what people think, lah. That's what we do on Yalabat, lah.
Yeah.
So that was a shock because I think people uploaded the clip faster than we did.
Yes.
And it went like pretty viral, lah. So yeah. That was a bit shocking, lah.
Yeah. And in case you can hear the rain, right, it's getting pretty heavy.
Yeah.
We kind of trying to see whether we can find some kind of shelter or something, lah, right?
Yeah, because this one is
very heavy.
It's a bit much, man. It's a bit much.
You're turning to the SO, is it? Okay. All right.
We are back on the road.
Slight
pause of what, like 20, 30 minutes?
Yeah. The rain, man. The rain.
Oh, the rain.
Unpredictable Singapore weather. What's
unpredictable. But yeah, now we are heading back towards our starting point, back on Upper East Coast Road.
Yeah.
How has the day been, Terrence?
Starts and stops, lah. But I mean, isn't that basically life? It's a great metaphor for life, isn't it?
Yeah. And the main thing is to not stop when you start something.
Never stop. Get to 500 before you even contemplate.
Get to 500. Yeah.
500 anything, lah. Yeah.
And even now, like, I don't know about you, but part of me is like, okay, the weather could turn at any point in time.
Yeah.
Right. I think we are like 10, 15 minutes back. But we also, you know, during the break, we were talking to the person who made all this possible, you know, Kent with the Trishaw, and he was telling us about, yeah, you know, the history of Trishaw riding in Singapore and as like a tourist thing, like it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And that's a bit odd, lah. Like hopefully there's some company that starts it. Hopefully, because it's a nice thing, lah. And like even sitting today, right? Granted, it's not very hot, right?
Mm.
It's actually, I can imagine if you're going through Chinatown and Little India, it'll be quite nice, lah, right?
Yeah, it will. I mean, I think people also kind of think of Trishaws as something that, you know, very old and you can only go to like the very heritage areas of the country, lah, right?
Yeah.
I think part of what we're doing here also is to bring the Trishaw to even the most not the typical tourist spots that you think of as well, like, right?
Yeah.
Like Joo Chiat is beautiful, but you know, never heard of people doing Trishaw rides in Joo Chiat before, like, have you?
Yeah, I haven't also.
Another first for Yalabat.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why the looks so far have been less of like, oh, it's a Trishaw again, but more like, oh, shit, it's a Trishaw.
Never knew that this could be done.
Yeah. And so far, I think only one person honked at us, like.
Yeah.
Everyone else has been quite chill, lah.
I remember there was someone driving a Porsche, if I'm not wrong.
Oh, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Jerk.
Oh, speaking of like, you know, like something that we were supposed to say also on this podcast.
Yes.
Like, together with Yalabat 500.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a big milestone for the podcast.
Yeah.
We are also going to be launching our website, finally. So
that's right.
When you see this, ministryoffunny.com would be live. And the reason why we wanted to get a website going, even though there's all the social media, is also because it's like a one place where people can find out about Yalabat, but also Ministry of Funny, where we produce like TV shows and folklore. And also to kind of like have an email list. Yep. You know, last time we started a newsletter that was every week, but now what we want to do is just have this email list where we will email whenever there's a big announcement we want to make.
Yeah.
And it won't be so much about covering news, covering affairs. It'll just be another way for us to engage with you.
Yeah.
For example, when we perhaps sell something for the first time, some Yalabat merch, that will be on the website. And if you are on the email list, you will get first dibs.
Yeah.
So right. By the time you see this, there will be a link in the show notes to ministryoffunny.com.
Yeah.
Go there, check out the website, check out the other things we do, and just sign up for a newsletter. I promise you, we won't bother you like every day or even every week with like ads and stuff, but it'll just be whenever we have something to share.
And part of it is to take back the power from social media companies also.
Take back the power, man.
Because, we obviously we use social media and we live on those platforms a lot. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, we realize that nothing beats just being able to control your own everything that you're producing yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's one of the attractions of podcasts as well, where they're not specifically tied to one medium only. Like you can get our podcast on Spotify, on Apple or Google Podcasts, whatever. Yeah, it's just everywhere.
Yeah, from the famous five, like where, you know, that Senate hearing, TikTok, Facebook, Snapchat, Meta, and what was the fifth one?
Amazon?
XXX.
Oh, XXX.
Yeah, the famous five.
So
we are going to be coming to the end of our first ever podcast on the street.
Yeah.
Terrence, how you feel, man?
It was an interesting experience. I would love to be doing this in other parts of Singapore, to be honest.
A national tour.
Yeah, but don't forget the logistics of a trishaw ride. Like, the trishaw rider, the trishaw uncle, has to go to the place where you're starting also, right?
Yeah, correct.
So there is that logistical difficulty there.
It's like, you know, like whenever you see like all these big artists and all doing world tours and they're like, okay, you know, my city list is here, get your tickets now. Can you imagine if we have like a national tour, then you got Punggol, Sengkang, Joo Chiat, Lakeside, Sungai Buloh. Yeah. Oh, lama. Fucking dope, man.
Yeah. What's your dream destination to go in Singapore?
Dream destination? I would actually say maybe like Bukit Panjang or something. Or Chua Chu Kang.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, I mean, I don't really go there that often.
Yeah.
But I know there's like people, Yishun,
I see.
Why not Yishun, man?
Why not, yeah.
The Yishun tour.
Yeah. Mine is Lim Chu Kang.
Why Lim Chu Kang?
I think it's just such a storied part of Singapore, right? Especially for people who did military service and went there and everything.
Oh, so
it's just, to kind of like, the memories tied to that place are all pretty bad memories of like army and all these things. And I always feel like whenever you have a bad memory of a place, what you should do is to try to recapture the power, you know, the leverage in that place by going there and doing something fucking awesome.
Oh, to own it.
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, we can't go to Tekong and do this, right? We can't go to Pulau Tekong and do this and erase memories of BMT, but we can go to places in Singapore, like Lim Chu Kang, for example.
So, like, to exercise the past.
Exercise and exercise. Yeah. Maybe that's the name of this.
Exercise. Not to... Which minister that said that last time for the carbon collectors?
Tan Chuan Jin,
yes. Yeah. Exercise and exercise.
Yeah.
Imagine if, like, it would be so cool if, like... Yeah, like there's that tour it has to be on a trishaw, not a bus or anything.
Yeah.
Because it's so cool. I wouldn't say you're breathing the freshest air. There's a lot of car exhaust.
Yeah.
But it's still so nice.
Yep.
We're turning into Upper East Coast Road.
Yeah. We're sort of heading back how we came, right?
Yeah.
Except that now the roads are wet. we are wet.
People going for lunchtime.
We're going for lunch.
Lunchtime break.
And we're just wrapping up the podcast, But you know, the final segment of the podcast we always have to do.
Here
also we should do, right?
Yes.
And for you, what is your one shook thing?
I mean, technically it can be related to what we've seen today, right?
Can, of course can.
The one shook thing is that you know, like how anyone who takes a lot of public transport, I would imagine everyone in Singapore takes public transport. Most of the, at some point. And it's so easy to just be in a bus or an MRT or a Grab and be on your phone and shit like that. But actually, it's nice to just, even if you're on a bus or MRT, just look outside, you know, and enjoy what's passing you by. If people look at you, smile back, man. Don't scowl. Yeah. So that was my one-stroke thing, to just stop and smell the roses.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and Terrence, what's your one shook thing?
My one shook thing is actually a podcast called Stuff You Should Know. It's an educational podcast where they talk about obscure things that, you know, are interesting. So, the one episode that I thought was quite interesting and relevant to this was about diners. The American diner. Do you know the American diner actually started out as food trucks? And then they came to become what we are today, what they are today in the American landscape, right? Of basically people who, places where people who don't have like the ability to go to restaurants because of where they're located, all that, they can actually go to these diners and eat. It's quite relevant to what we're doing because we're bringing the podcast on a mobile trishaw. Or maybe one day that will lead to something a bit more like a mobile podcast studio.
Then we just go somewhere, set up, and then move on.
That's pretty much what we're doing.
Yeah. Which is perfect timing, Terrence.
Yeah, because we've actually reached our end location.
Yeah. Waving to the camera.
Yeah.
Hi, Tristan. All right.
Yes. It's been a long ride.
Thank you, Kent,
for everything. Thank you to anyone who listened to this and found it interesting also.
Yeah. And thank you to anyone who's been listening to us either from episode 1 or episode 499.
Yeah.
It's been an awesome experience growing this podcast. And here's to another 500, man.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. And we'll talk to y'all soon.